Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We will read from 1 to 3. I learned how to say Colossians. I used to say Colossians, and I got a few of the church members asking, what did he say? So when I said, then I heard, oh, Colossians. Ever since then, I choose both. So Colossians and Colossians. Americans say Colossians, and Africans say Colossians, and the British say Colossians. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Colossians, by me in America, so I'll say Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So our lives are hidden with Christ in God. So reading it from the top again, let's start from verse 1. Very good. If we are risen with Christ. Now the Bible makes it clear that we are risen with Christ. The Bible makes it clear that when we during baptism, a symbol of what has happened spiritually, a public baptism is just a public demonstration of what has happened in the inside. So when we enter into the water, we identify with Christ's death and burial. When we come up out of the water, we identify with his resurrection. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible also makes it clear. Let's take a side Paul. We have Colossians 3, 1 to 3. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2.
Amen.
And let's look from verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive, or quickened us together with Christ. By grace, what? Ye are saved. So, when Christ was being made alive, you and I were also being made alive from our sins. We were dead in sins. Christ was dead physically. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
When God was raising Christ Jesus physically from the dead, or from the dead, you and I were also raised from our deadness of sin into life.
Amen.
Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Continue. And hath raised us up together. So when Christ was being raised up from the dead, you and I spiritually were also being raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So it means that when God was raising Christ Jesus from the dead, you and I spiritually were also being raised from the deadness of our sins into newness of life at God's right hand. Look at Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places in Christ. So God has blessed us, not going to. So far as God is concerned, you and I have all the spiritual blessings that there is.
Amen.
But you and I need to walk in them. Am I preaching to somebody? Now go to Ephesians chapter 1. I'll not go too much into this because I'll talk about it later on. It's a very powerful verse. But look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse from verse 20. And let me just also add something. I'll just state it, but it's a whole sermon on its own. Which he wrought in Christ. So remember, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Father, The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that he may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us, or to us what who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. So, the power of the Godhead that raised Christ from the dead and set Christ at his own right hand. The Bible is also saying in Ephesians 2 that when God was raising Christ from the dead and setting him at his own right hand, we are with him. So, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Continue. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now, what does to the church mean? Look at another translation. It says, for the church's sake. Christ didn't need to be placed above all things when he created all things. It is automatic that the creator is above all things. He descended, but he first had to, he ascended according to Ephesians 4, but it for him to have ascended when he was at a high, someone who can't go any higher, for the statement to be made that he ascended, it must mean that he descended first and then ascended. Hallelujah. Far above all heavens. So he doesn't need to be placed above all things when he's already above all things, but it is explaining it. Let's look at NIV. NLT explains it very well. But let's look at it. Okay. NLT, do you have it? Very good. Am I preaching to somebody?
You are preaching good. Good message.
So, New Living Translation. Good. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ. And he gave him this authority for the benefit, glory, for the benefit of the church. So God placed Christ above all things for the church's sake. Hallelujah. But that one, that's not what we are preaching now. Because this one is a nice, very, very solid. It talks about authority, the authority of the believer. But the point I was trying to make was that when God raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised from the deadness of sin, and we were also placed together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Did we get that? Now go to Colossians chapter 3. Now let's go back to our verse. So it means that we are spiritually in heavenly places. Now Colossians 3:1 says, if ye be risen with Christ. Now you understand why he's saying if ye be risen with Christ. If ye be risen with Christ, because it is because when God was risen Christ from the dead, we were also raised spiritually. So our spiritual position is at God's right hand. Our spiritual position, it means that the head, when the head went to God's right hand, the body went with him. Glory to God. Did somebody hear that? So it means that the head went to God's right hand and the body went with him. So if Christ, the head, is at God's right hand, if you are even the feet, you are far above all principality, power, and everything is under your feet.
Amen.
So if ye be risen with Christ, then we must seek the things which are above, where you and I are spiritually, and where Christ is sitting at God's right hand. Am I preaching to somebody? Continue. How do you do that? Set your affections. Now, when you are setting your affections on something, it means you are tuning, you are intentionally tuning your mind and your affections on that thing. So if I'm setting my affections on work, I'm going to tune my mind and organize myself to make sure that my mindset is towards work. If my mindset is towards God, I must tune my mind. I must make the intentional effort to program my mind to that place. Now the Bible is saying we must program our minds. We must tune our minds. We must set our minds. We must set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. But you get many churches which will tell you how to and encourage you to set your mind on things on the earth. I'm preaching to somebody here. But I know the Bible says that we must avoid people who say that godliness is a means to gain. Avoid such people. Am I preaching to somebody? And the Bible says that. So the Bible is making it clear that you and I will live on the earth. And when you live on the earth, you must make ends meet on earth. Our lives are similar to, I'll give you two examples. One is, I'll give you one about a baby, and then I'll give you one about a train or an airport flight. As I was preaching one day, these examples came, and they are now my examples. Am I preaching to somebody? Now, example, everyone has a destination.
That's right.
We were born, and our destination is supposed to be heaven, or at least the grave. And then the grave is just a transit to life. Good. So if you and I have the destination, we live in in Cleveland. We are going to DFW. Or we are going to DFW. We are in DFW and we are going back home to Cleveland. How many are getting me so far? Now, when you are on the flight or you have a long transit, it's important to be comfortable during the long transit. So you and I will need money. You and I will need companions. You and I will need an iPad or some books to read. You and I will need food. That is life. Life is that journey from DFW to Cleveland. And you and I, many people spend their whole lives on that journey, concentrating on spending all their money just for that journey. Imagine you have 10,000 in the bank account and the whole 10,000, you are spending it on that journey, not knowing that you are going to your destination to Cleveland and now you are going to live after getting to Cleveland. What's going to happen when you get to Cleveland and you've used all your money? We must always realize that we are sojourning on earth and we are in a pilgrimage. This is just a journey. And we need to be satisfied. We need to be comfortable. We need to be happy in the journey. If you have a 10-hour wait, it's nice to have some money, nice to have some food, nice to have companions, and that is life. Also, an unborn baby. So far as the unborn baby is concerned, they are living. That 9 or 10 months in the stomach is life to them. They don't know any other life but in the stomach. How many are getting what I'm saying? That's their world. But you see that the parents are making provision for the child. Just like Jesus said, I've gone to prepare mansions for you. So the parents are preparing provisions for the child now. But if the parents don't prepare properly for the child and the child comes out, the child will be in many problems. But you realize that the child, so far as the child is concerned, this is my life. You and I, we don't know anything better, but this is not life. 10 months in the womb versus even 200 years on earth. 200 years versus perpetuity. 200 years versus eternity. 200 years versus forever. So now you and I think we are living, but we are not living. We are actually on a pilgrimage. We are actually on the womb. That's why to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's why to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the womb is to be present. Now, anytime a child comes out of the womb to life, what happens? It's crying. They're supposed to be crying. In the same way, when we are moving from this womb to life, what happens? Crying. Death. And there's crying. But many people assume that this is life. But this is not life. God is saying, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. There's a book by John Bevere, Driven by Eternity. It's a good book. Life, he describes life as a school. In school, many people are doing long jump, are doing sports, are doing many, many activities. There's not a problem with that. But many people concentrate on those things and fail school, fail their exams, and fail the reason they went for being in school. But so long as you are doing those triple jump and you are studying hard, you are keeping the reason, it will make a difference. It will make a difference. And many people on earth, they don't do that. They assume that school is life. School is life. But school is not life. School is a number of years. And then after school, you enter life. Now, what you do in school will determine what will happen in life. In the same way, what we do on earth will determine what will happen in the afterlife. So set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3. For ye are dead. Now, the true Christian is dead. Don't need to turn to it. Galatians 3:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live it. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. So you and I are dead. We are dead. The old nature is dead. The old nature is buried. At least, yes, for the Christian is buried. But many people try to resurrect it. Don't shout me down now, preaching. Many people try to resurrect the old nature, but the old nature is dead. Am I preaching to somebody? The old nature should have been mortified and crucified, but we need to contend with the bodies nevertheless. But the old nature is dead. And our life, our future is hidden with Christ. Because Christ is our Savior, Christ is all in all, is hidden in Christ, so the devil can't see it. The devil can speculate. The devil can generalize, but the devil can't see it. Because it's hidden with Christ in God. And if it's hidden in Christ, with Christ in God, nothing can touch it. It's secure. It's secure. Hallelujah. So you and I must think about eternity. Psalm 90, the Psalm of Moses. Lord, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 12. Now, when I was a young boy, I used to watch, my parents used to watch it, so by default I watched it. It's called Dynasty. Miniseries. This Dynasty. How many have heard of Dynasty? Yeah. Blake Carrington and Alexis Kobe and all these people. Blake Carrington, Alexis Kobe. I can't remember the others. I was very young then. Now, in this Dynasty, you've seen it. Okay, I thought so. Okay, Patrick Duffy. Okay. One of the characters. Okay, so you watched it, yeah. Now, this is a very good example of this verse. There was a man who was known as wicked. His name, if you can give him another name, his nickname, like Peter, Petros, Jesus gave Simon and the nickname Peter, Petros. If you were to give this man a nickname, you give him wicked as the nickname. Wicked man! Hey! Wicked! Wicked! Everyone feared him. People hated him, but had to suck up to him. He was a very strong businessman, very successful man, and he was so shrewd that if you fall in his trap, you are done. Finito. And everyone knew him. His lawyers, his doctors. Now, he went to the hospital for his routine medical checkup, and he was diagnosed with a cancer, organ, one of the tumors in the organ, giving some months to live. Now this man, the wickedness of this man changed because he said to himself that, look, I'm going to die. Let me make peace with my enemies. The people I have defrauded and have punished, let me restore them. His wife who feared him, his children who hated him, he made amends with them. and loved them and sorted out all his problems. Anyone who he had a beef with, I'm begging you, I'm sorry. Wicked man like that, I'm sorry. And then one day, as he was in bed in the hospital, getting ready to be discharged to a hospice or home, knowing that he'll be in a hospice soon, the doctor came with a lawyer and a priest. The doctor was almost kneeling down, said that, you know what, we made a mistake in the samples, but you don't have cancer, but it was a mistake. Now we have the priest here for mercy, begging, and we have the lawyer here for any legal ramifications, because the hospital could close down. But because he had been worked on and his heart had changed, he said, no, you've rather given me life. I free you. Now this man was numbering his days and therefore applied his heart to wisdom. Hallelujah. When you know you are going to die, what are you going to do? If you knew that you had 6 months to live, what are the things you and I are going to do? That's wisdom. It's here in Psalm 90 verse 12, Psalm of Moses. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. We may apply our hearts to wisdom. So that wicked man applied his heart to wisdom and changed everything. May you and I be wise. Amen. May you and I think like dying people.
Amen.
Bishop said he always thought because he was a pastor he would live long. But when he had the accident and nearly died, he changed that theology and said that, look, he always thinks as if he's going to die soon. That's why he's always in a speed, always in a hurry. It's better to think like a dying person, to be wise and to live long, than to think that we have forever. I also used to think that, but quickly I changed it so fast. When I had to have surgery and everything, I changed it quickly. You can die, we can die. We are not needed anywhere. We can die immediately. But I believe that if God sees people who worship him and love him, he will want to preserve them on earth. Like David. Hallelujah. Think about it. Perpetuity is forever. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1. We're going from 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, what is the earthly house? Our body. Were dissolved or is gone, died. We have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to, so our spirits are desiring to be clothed with our house which is from heaven. This body, we are living in this body. We are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in the body. This body, our spirits are looking forward to the demolition of this body, the expiration of this body, and we are looking forward to our heavenly house. Let's continue. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Because the new body is an immortal body that will not be swallowed up by death, that cannot die, that cannot sin. Hallelujah to Jesus. How many want to have the point where there's no sickness, no sin, no problem? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Continue. Now he that hath wrought for us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Mean that, yeah, he gave us the Holy Spirit. Good. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So when we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith. So you see, so for we walk by faith, not by sight, is a result of what we've just read. So it means the person who is thinking of eternity, who is driven by eternity, is walking by faith and not by sight. Let me get... Hallelujah. And we are going to continue. I just want to get something.
Rich.
Good. Yeah. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body. If Apostle Paul had the chance, he would prefer to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Immediately you are absent from the body, glory to God, you are present with the Lord. Immediately. Before Christ, that was not so. Before Christ, when you die, where do you go? The Christian goes where? The believer of God goes where? To Abraham's bosom. And the unbeliever goes to the fire. Or in Hades, the region of the dead. That one, another time. Continue, verse 9. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted in him. Because of all these things, we will labor that whether we are present or absent in the body, it doesn't matter, we will be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is not for heaven, hell. Heaven, hell is the great white throne judgment. The judgment seat of Christ has nothing to do with heaven, hell. The judgment seat of Christ is actually the judgment seat for the Christian, who will be judged on the things they have done, to receive rewards or to be discussed in heaven. Judgment seat of Christ is in heaven. The great white throne is a scary place. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, then he continues, persuade me. I don't know if I'm preaching to somebody here. Ladies and gentlemen, we must be driven by eternity. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 to 19. For our light is affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18 is what we're looking for. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Why? For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. An example, I can see your body. It is not temp. It's not permanent. Our body. You can see my body. You can see the temporary part of me, but the eternal part, or rather, not even the eternal, but the immortal part, or the part that will not die, is the spirit, which you can see. The eternal. So in the same way, the things which we can see on this earth are temporary. Everything, that's right. Everything is temporary. Everything here is temporary. The Bible says that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and Christ. Look, everything on earth is temporary. But the things which we can't see, like God, like the things in heaven, are eternal. So we must look and be driven by eternity. And anytime you are driven by eternity, you do well on earth also. If you look at it, God asked Solomon, what do you want? If Solomon asked for money, God would have given him the money. If Solomon asked for long life, God would have given it to him. But Solomon asked for wisdom and an understanding heart to go in and out from amongst the people. And God said, thank you, Solomon. You did not ask for money. You did not ask for long life. You did not ask for the lives of your enemies. But you asked for something eternal. Because of this, the things you did not even ask for, I'll give to you. I'm so pleased with you that I'll give you not only wisdom you've asked for, but no one will be wiser than you apart from wisdom himself, Christ. No one will be wiser than you. No one will be richer than you. And God gave him wisdom. God gave him the things he did not ask. That should show us God's mind. When God sees that you and I are driven by eternity, God will bless us. God will promote us. God will establish us in all good things. Next week, God willing, we are going to go into just some things we must look out for or things we must desire in the eternal. Please. Hallelujah. Shall we stand to our feet?